Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Story 1. I worked nights as a security guard at a ski resort in Colorado. One of those jobs you take just to scrape by. It was up near Glenwood Springs. Remote, quiet, surrounded by dense pines and jagged cliffs. I lived down in town, so every night after my shift ended at midnight, I had to walk 20 minutes down a service road to catch the last bus. There weren't any streetlights, and the trees closed in tight on both sides. It got so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face without a flashlight. You get used to mountain silence, or at least you think you do. This happened in early February, a Tuesday. I remember because it was the night after a snowstorm, and everything was dead quiet except for the crunch of my boots. The road was still packed with snow, untouched since the plows hadn't made it that far yet. No tire tracks. Just mine. About 5 minutes into the walk, I noticed something off. I stopped, and for a second, all I heard was the soft hiss of wind in the trees. But then, crunch, behind me, light, subtle. Then silence again. I turned around, shined my flashlight back the way I came. Nothing. Just the empty path and tall shadows stretching out into the woods. Probably snow dropping off the trees, I told myself. I kept walking, but it wasn't snow. Every 20 or 30 seconds I'd hear it, soft steps, just behind me, then stopping when I stopped. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't an animal either, not at first, not at that pace. I kept the flashlight on behind me for most of the walk after that. Then came the howls. I knew there were coyotes in the area. We'd hear them some nights up by the lodges, high-pitched yipping calls echoing down the slopes. But this was different. This wasn't a distant pack off in the woods. This was low, drawn out, and close. Too close. It started with one, then another joined in, then another surrounding me. First on the left, then the right, then behind. I stopped walking and spun around with the flashlight. The beam caught something. Eyes about six or seven sets, reflecting white-blue in the dark. They were just inside the tree line, maybe 20 feet away, unmoving. I pulled the bear mace from my jacket pocket. "Back the fuck off," I said, waving the light. One of them stepped forward, slowly. The others stayed still. I could see its body now, skinny, mottled fur, too long in the legs. It wasn't scared. That's what got me. Usually they scatter when they hear a human voice. But this one looked like it understood me, like it was waiting. Another one stepped onto the road behind me. I turned fast and aimed the mace. My hand was shaking. The thing didn't charge. It just stood there, staring at me with its head low and tilted, like it was trying to figure me out. I couldn't hear the rest of them anymore. No steps, no breathing. Just this awful, low, growling hum, like a dog trying to hold back a bark. I started walking again, fast this time, and they didn't stop following me. But then, something happened I still don't understand. About 50 yards from the end of the road, where the trees clear and the bus stop light flickers through the branches, I noticed something on the slope to my right. Movement. But this wasn't a coyote. It was taller, upright. At first I thought it was a deer, the way it moved, but slower, stiffer. Then it stepped out of the trees, and everything stopped. No wind, no coyotes. Just me and this thing. It stood maybe 30 feet away, on the edge of the trees, just barely visible. My flashlight flickered, but I saw enough. Long limbs, thin body, naked and gray like wet concrete. No face, just smooth skin from forehead to chin. No hair, no eyes, just a blank shape where a face should have been. And it was looking at me. I don't know how. I felt it. I couldn't move. I couldn't even breathe. I heard something behind me, paws scuffing snow, but I didn't dare look away. Then one of the coyotes let out this horrible yelp, like it had been kicked. I whipped around, and I swear to God, the pack was gone. Every one of them. Nothing but paw prints in the snow. And when I turned back to the thing in the trees, it was halfway across the road. Still no sound, not even footsteps. It was just there. The same height, same blank face, arms hanging too low, fingers too long. I ran. I don't remember how fast. I didn't think. I just sprinted toward the bus stop, slipping on the snow, nearly dropping the mace and flashlight. I could feel it behind me, though I never heard it move. It was just there, pressing in on me like gravity. Not chasing, not fast, just there. I burst into the clearing where the bus stop was, and the light above flickered, once, twice, then held. I spun around and aimed the flashlight into the road. Nothing. Just the empty path behind me. No footsteps. No sound. Just the wind picking back up like a switch had been flipped. I didn't sleep that night. I didn't even take the bus. I waited until sunrise and walked down the rest of the mountain into town. Quit the job that same morning. Told them it was the cold or the hours. I didn't care. I wasn't going back. Story 2, I used to clean a mid-sized office building in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, about 5 years ago. I was 23, broke, and just out of school, doing whatever jobs I could land. The janitorial gig came through a friend, and it wasn't bad. Boring, sure, but boring's fine when you're alone in a locked building. This place wasn't open to the public. You needed a fob to get in, even through the main entrance. Each office had its own security clearance, too. So there was no way anyone could wander in off the street. It felt secure, which helped at night. Because yeah, I worked the evening shift, 4 p.m. to midnight. I'd usually finish early and get to leave around 9, still clocked in. That was the trade-off. Do your work, stay quiet, don't screw around. We were a small crew, just 4 of us. Around 5 p.m., we'd each head to our assigned buildings. Mine was always Building C, 3 stories. Mostly insurance and legal offices. Everyone was usually gone by 6. I had a routine, trash cans first, then vacuuming, then special assignments like carpet shampooing or dusting blinds. Bathrooms came last. I always saved them for the end because no one would be around to walk in while I cleaned. Easier that way. I could turn on some music and zone out. This happened on a Tuesday night in October. Chilly outside, but not snowing yet. I remember because I'd left my jacket in the break room and debated going back for it, but I didn't bother. Just wanted to get the bathrooms done and head home. Women's bathroom first, easy, everything looked normal. I wiped down the mirrors, did the stalls, mopped the floor. Took maybe 10 minutes, then I moved to the men's bathroom. Now here's where it all started. The men's room lights are motion sensor. So when I walked in, they flicked on immediately, just like always. I stepped in, turned toward the stalls and stopped. There was a man, just standing in the middle of the bathroom. He wasn't facing me. His back was turned, his hands down by his sides. No movement, no reaction. Just standing there, like he'd been waiting. At first I froze. I thought maybe it was one of the office guys who hadn't left. Maybe on a late shift or something. But then I remembered. I'd cleaned their trash already. The lights in their office were off. I'd walked past them maybe 20 minutes earlier. No one was supposed to be here. I said, excuse me? Nothing, not even a twitch. I stepped back and let the door swing shut slowly behind me, not making a sound. My heart started pounding because something felt off. You know when you feel someone should have moved by now, responded, turned their head? He didn't do any of that. I remember thinking, how long had he been in there for the lights to go off? That room has a 5-minute timer. If there's no movement, the lights shut down, which meant he had to have been standing there perfectly still in the dark for at least 5 minutes, maybe longer. Then when I walked in, they turned on, and there he was, already in place. I reached into my pocket, fumbled for my phone. No signal. No idea why. Not that deep into the building. I thought about calling my supervisor, but I couldn't even get a bar. So I cracked the door open again, just enough to peek inside. He hadn't moved, still standing there, same exact position. I looked at his clothes, black hoodie, black pants, black shoes, no company badge. That's the thing, We all had visible lanyards. If you didn't have a badge, the guards would stop you. But this guy had nothing. I backed away from the door and stood in the hallway for a second, unsure what to do. I thought about going back in with my mop handle just in case, but something in me said, don't. Not just fear, it was deeper than that. A kind of warning, like if I went in there again, something was going to happen that I wouldn't be able to walk away from. Then I heard the door creak. I turned around fast. It opened slowly, all on its own. No footsteps, no hand reaching out, just opened. I stared, waiting to see him come out, but he didn't. The light inside flickered once, then twice, and then the door slammed shut so hard I jumped back against the opposite wall. I didn't wait. I didn't check again. I grabbed my cleaning cart, left it in the hallway, and bolted down the stairwell. I didn't even clock out. I left the building, got into my car, and sat there with the engine running for 20 minutes before driving off. The next morning, I told my supervisor. I expected him to laugh or tell me someone was probably working late, but he just looked at me and asked, "Which bathroom?" I said, "Third floor." "Men's." He sighed and said, "You're not the first." I asked what he meant. He didn't say much, just that the night guy before me had walked off the job after something similar. That was months before I was hired. No one ever found out how anyone was getting in, especially with the FOB security. The cameras were focused on the entrances, but they'd never caught anyone going in or out around the times things happened. I quit 2 days later. Didn't give notice. Didn't care. I've never worked nights again. And I still can't walk into a bathroom without checking behind the door. Whatever that thing was, it wasn't just a man standing still. No one can stand that still for that long, in complete darkness without breathing, without moving, without being alive. Story 3. People think it's boring being a night guard, and yeah, most nights it is. But there's a reason we get paid more for the graveyard shift. You're the only one around when shit doesn't make sense. My name's Greg. I live just outside of Joliet, Illinois, and I work security for a parts manufacturing plant that supplies aircraft components. It's a massive facility, 3 connected warehouses, and during shutdown, it's basically a giant metal tomb. Last Christmas, the plant shut down for the holidays. We do a 2-week close every year, and I was one of the only guys on shift. Just me, a skeleton crew on dispatch, and one other guard scheduled in the mornings. My job was to do perimeter checks and walk the main floor every couple of hours, mostly to make sure nobody breaks in, looking for copper or tools to steal. Anyway, it was December 26th. Snowed like hell that night. I remember the silence when I pulled up. Even the wind had gone still. Inside, the lights were cut to minimum, maybe a dozen security fluorescents scattered over the entire plant. The machines were all shut off. No hums, no motion, just long rows of steel, dead silent and cold. I was doing my second walkthrough at around 1:30 a.m., carrying my flashlight, even though I knew the place like the back of my hand. I'd walked the same route 100 times, but something felt off as soon as I stepped past the break room. The air felt heavy, not just cold, dense. I thought maybe one of the HVACs was acting up, but when I stopped to listen, there was nothing. Not a fan, not a whir, not even a click. Just the buzz of one flickering overhead light down near the compressor aisle. Then I heard it. It started as a low groan, long and drawn out, like metal shifting under weight. That's not unusual in a place like this. Buildings settle, pipes knock. But this sound didn't echo. It breathed. I'm serious. It had that texture, like something alive making it. Then without any buildup, this one machine, an old hydraulic press, let out a sound that shot right through my bones. It wasn't a mechanical noise. It screamed. Not like a person, not exactly. It was deeper, more guttural. It was the kind of sound you'd hear in one of those old war films right before an air raid. Low at first, then rising to this distorted, siren-like howl that shook the damn floor. I dropped the flashlight. I'm not ashamed to say I froze for a second, just standing there like a deer in headlights while this sound ripped through the air. It echoed off every surface, making it impossible to tell where it was coming from, even though I saw the press moving, jerking once, then seizing like it was choking on itself. That machine hasn't worked in over 2 years. It's locked out, decommissioned, tagged with a bright red do not operate sign. No power, no hydraulics, no reason it should have made a damn peep. I backed away slowly, keeping my eyes on it, expecting it to stop. And it did, but not like a machine winding down. It cut off mid-scream, like someone had slapped a hand over its mouth. Dead silence again. That was somehow worse. My radio crackled then, loud and staticky. Unit 5, status check. Everything okay? I raised the walkie to my mouth, but I couldn't make my thumb press the button. My hand was shaking so bad it looked like I had Parkinson's. Then the floor under me shuddered. Not an earthquake, just a single, sharp thud, like something massive dropped directly above me. There's nothing above the main floor. I didn't walk, I ran, bolted down the line toward the locker hallway, not caring about protocol, not even pretending to do another check. I swear to God, every dark space I passed looked like it was watching me. I had this crawling sensation that something was following close behind, just outside the flashlight's reach, matching my pace. As I got near the break room, I slammed into something. I thought it was a wall or one of the standing racks, but it gave way like fabric, like running face first into a curtain soaked in ice water. My vision blurred, my ears rang like I was standing next to a jet engine. Then I smelled it, something like burning plastic and rotting meat, and I went through whatever it was. I didn't look back. I got into the office, locked the door, and sat in the corner until sunrise. My supervisor found me the next morning with a busted lip and dried blood under my nose. I told him I slipped in the snow. They reviewed the CCTV. Every camera on the floor had blacked out at exactly 1:37 a.m., right when I'd entered the South Wing. Came back online at 2:03, 26 minutes of static, no power surges, no tripped breakers, no explanation. A week later, I came in on day shift to hand in my badge. The hydraulic press, still dead, still unplugged. They've since covered it in shrink wrap and boxed it off behind a steel cage. I don't talk about that night, not to friends, not even to my wife. Story 4. It was a night like any other, a slow shift, and I was doing my usual rounds. I work as a night guard in a pretty old building. Nothing too fancy, but it's got its share of long corridors and stairwells that echo if you listen close enough. It's an easy job most of the time. People come and go during the day, but at night things slow down. At least that's what I thought. The building has a bit of a homeless problem, especially in the winter. I guess when it gets cold enough, the stairwells offer some shelter, even if it's not much. So it's part of my job to make sure no one's camping out there. Most of the time, you can just tell when someone's there. You hear them rustling around, maybe the soft sound of a blanket being shaken out. It's annoying, but not a big deal. You just walk up, knock on the door, and ask them to move along. Simple. But that night wasn't like any other. I was doing my rounds a little later than usual, around 3:30 a.m. The whole building felt like it was holding its breath, you know? Like the air was heavy, and I swear I could hear the faintest creaks in the walls. Maybe it was just me being paranoid, but something felt off. I reached the first stairwell, the one with the small door that always sticks. The kind of door that you have to push hard to open, and when it finally gives, it makes that groaning sound that echoes all the way up the stairwell. It's not much, but it always gives me a sense of unease, like the building is letting out a sigh. I pushed it open, listening for the telltale sound of someone moving, but it was dead quiet. I didn't even see any trash or bags of belongings, nothing to indicate that someone had been there recently. I figured it was clear, so I went ahead and moved to the next floor. Nothing strange so far, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was waiting for me. I got to the next landing, and that's when I heard it. A rustle. It was quiet but unmistakable. Someone was there. I froze for a second, listening hard. The sound was coming from the shadows at the end of the stairwell, just out of my sight. My first thought was that it was a person, maybe a homeless guy, just trying to keep warm. I started walking slowly toward the sound, my flashlight cutting through the darkness. That's when it happened. Something darted out of the shadows and lunged at me. My heart almost jumped out of my chest. I swear I saw a flash of fur, and for a split second, I thought it was a cat. You know, just one of those stupid stray cats that hang around, scaring the life out of you when they pop out of nowhere. But as soon as I thought that, I remembered the horror movie trope. Something always happens right after you think it's over. Right? I stopped, dead in my tracks. My flashlight swept the corner where the thing had come from, but there was nothing there. Not even a shadow, just a quiet, empty stairwell. I laughed at myself, trying to brush it off. Just a cat, I muttered. I shook my head, trying to get rid of the creeping feeling that something wasn't right. But there was this nagging thought in the back of my head. This wasn't a regular night. Something was off, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I stepped forward again, but as soon as I did, the air changed. It got colder, way colder, and I could see my breath. I wasn't sure if it was just me, or if the building was messing with me. But I swear the temperature dropped like someone had opened a freezer door. I tried to shake it off, but it was hard to ignore. I took a couple more steps toward the dark corner of the stairwell, shining my flashlight in every direction. But again, nothing. Just the silence. But that's when I heard it. A whisper. It was so faint, I wasn't sure if I had imagined it. I thought maybe it was the wind or the building creaking. But the whisper came again, clearer this time. It wasn't in any language I recognized, and it was wrong. Like it was right next to me, but at the same time, coming from somewhere far away. I froze. My heart was pounding in my chest now. I turned my flashlight around in a panicked circle, but I still didn't see anything. Then, right when I was about to turn and get the hell out of there, I heard the rustling again. This time it was louder, like someone was moving in the dark. Just out of sight. I backed up, my mind racing. I wasn't about to go down there to check again, not after that whisper, not after that cold. But before I could turn around, I heard the worst thing possible, a growl. It wasn't a cat. It wasn't anything normal. It was low, guttural, and wrong. It felt like it was coming from the walls themselves, like the building itself was trying to warn me, or maybe trap me. I don't know. I didn't wait. I bolted back down the stairs, through the door, and out into the hallway. My legs were shaking, and I swear I could feel something watching me, but I didn't dare look back. I made my way to the security office and sat there for the rest of my shift, too terrified to go back down. I didn't call anyone, didn't want to sound crazy, but I knew something had been down there, something I couldn't explain. Story 5. I worked the night shift a few times at Sam's Club when I needed extra hours, mostly to prep for big sales events. It was always quiet, just me and the skeleton crew, a few truck drivers unloading deliveries. I'd show up around 2 a.m., get to work on setting up displays, restocking, and organizing. I didn't mind it. The store was on a hillside, kind of tucked away from the main road, with a stretch of woods behind it. The trees were thick, and the lot was always dim. The back entrance had this long, narrow path leading up to it, and you had to go around the building to get to the receiving door. It was a little eerie, sure, especially when it was pitch black outside, but I never felt like I was in any real danger. That is, until my last shift. I had finished unloading some boxes and was setting up a display when I noticed something, well, someone, moving outside, just beyond the receiving area. My first thought was that it was one of the other guys, but there was something off. They were moving too quietly, and they weren't walking like someone I knew. They were hunched over a bit, almost like they were waiting for something. I didn't pay too much attention at first. My mind wandered off to the fact that I hadn't seen another car pull up, and the whole parking lot was empty. The feeling of being watched crept over me, though. It wasn't normal, not like how you feel when someone's just standing behind you. It was more intense, like an oppressive weight pressing down on my chest. I shook it off. Just nerves, right? It was probably just the shadows playing tricks, the way the trees swayed in the wind, making it look like something else. But then it got worse. I was halfway down the aisle when I heard it, the unmistakable sound of footsteps, not behind me, but ahead of me, closer to the back door. I froze, heart pounding. It wasn't the echo of the building settling or the wind outside. Someone was walking in the back hallway. I grabbed my walkie-talkie, but the channel was silent. No one else was supposed to be there, and I knew it. I started to step toward the receiving door, but something about the sound of those footsteps made me hesitate. They weren't hurried, like someone who needed to be somewhere. They were slow, deliberate, almost like they were pacing, waiting for something. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I had to be imagining it. There was no way anyone could be out there. I was about to call out, maybe to ask who was there, when the footsteps stopped. Dead silence. Then just as suddenly, the sound of something scraping against the metal door. It wasn't a bang, not like someone trying to break in. No, this was slower, methodical, like someone running their nails down the side of the building. I felt a chill that sank deep into my bones. The air grew thick, heavy. I stepped toward the door, but as I did, I saw something in the corner of my eye, a figure standing at the edge of the parking lot. It was barely visible in the dark, but I could tell it wasn't moving like a normal person. It was too still, too rigid. I'm not a superstitious person, but in that moment, I swear I could feel a presence behind me. Not a person, something else. I wanted to run, but I didn't know which direction was safer. My heart pounded so loud I thought it would explode in my chest. I couldn't breathe, couldn't think. It was like something was closing in on me, suffocating me from all sides. I bolted for the door. My hands fumbled with the lock, but I didn't stop. I slammed the door behind me, not caring about the noise. I didn't look back, couldn't look back. I locked the door, leaned against it, gasping for air. I don't know how long I stood there, but it felt like hours. I kept expecting to hear something, anything, coming from the other side, but nothing. I left, didn't even finish my shift. I'm not proud of it, but I wasn't about to go back into that building. Not that night, and definitely not after what I felt out there. I don't know who or what it was, but I knew I wasn't going to risk finding out. I never worked another night shift after that. Story 6. I used to work as a night guard for an investment firm to make some extra money while I was a sheriff's deputy. It wasn't glamorous work, but the pay was decent enough, especially considering the area it was in. A pretty rough industrial park that bordered a neighborhood with a lot of crime. The company was huge, sprawling across three buildings on a four-acre property, surrounded by a tall fence. The job felt pretty standard, just making sure no one tried to break in and keeping an eye on the security cameras. I worked the 4 p.m. to midnight shift on weekends, and typically I was paired with another guard. On this particular night, my partner was a guy I served with in the National Guard. We had each other's backs, and that definitely helped ease the tension of walking through the pitch-black hallways of an empty building. As a deputy, I wasn't easily spooked, but this place always gave off a strange vibe. Maybe it was because it was so quiet or the fact that I was usually alone in the dead of night. It was late December, and the building was still decorated with Christmas lights and some scattered holiday cheer. Employees would often leave candy and little notes of appreciation for us guards, which was nice. But it always felt like the holidays were a little too festive for a place that had such a cold, industrial feel to it. I was walking through the dark hallways that night, checking everything out. The company had recently set up a new break room in one of the far corners of the building, near the server room. We'd had a power surge earlier, so I figured I'd check on the breaker and make sure everything was fine. Then my radio buzzed. "Hey man, cameras are down on the east side by the cubicles. I think the lights went out. Can you check it out?" My partner's voice came through, calm and steady. He was in the security room, monitoring the cameras. I nodded, even though I knew he couldn't see me. "Got it," I said, then clicked off the radio. The hallway ahead of me was pitch black. No service lights, no emergency lights, nothing. It felt like I was walking into a void. My flashlight cut through the darkness, but it seemed like it wasn't doing much, like it was barely illuminating anything at all. A chill ran through me. I felt uneasy, but I kept moving forward. As I walked down the long row of cubicles, something about the silence was unnerving. No hum of computers, no distant voices, just complete, oppressive quiet. That's when I started hearing it, an odd clicking sound. It was faint at first, like nails tapping on metal, and it seemed to be coming from just ahead of me. I wasn't sure if it was just my mind playing tricks on me, but I kept moving, stepping cautiously past the rows of desks. That's when I saw it, a silhouette crouched low between two cubicles at the very end of the row. My heart skipped. I froze for a second. Was someone in the building? I moved instinctively, pulling my weapon and slowly advancing. "Stand up, face me, now!" I shouted, the echo of my voice bouncing off the walls. Nothing, it just stayed there. I inched closer, holding my gun tight, trying to stay calm. My pulse was racing, but I wasn't about to let some trespasser get the better of me. When I finally hit the corner and my flashlight landed on it, I stopped dead in my tracks. It was a clown statue holding a tiny Charlie Brown Christmas tree. My mouth went dry. I had no idea what to make of it. I lowered my gun and let out a shaky laugh. Of course, it had to be a decoration left behind by one of the employees for the holidays. I wasn't sure whether to feel relieved or just embarrassed. I stepped closer to it, my hands still shaking from the adrenaline. I was about to move the statue out of the way when, "Bah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha!" The thing, it laughed. The sound was sharp, like a crack in the silence, and it sent a jolt of ice through my veins. I snapped my head back, my heart slamming in my chest. I took off running, not even thinking twice. I didn't care if it was a prank or not. I wasn't about to stick around and figure out why a clown statue was laughing at me in the dark. I pounded down the hallway, sprinting back to the front desk. My radio was crackling in my ear, but I didn't care. I pushed through the front doors, nearly slamming into the desk as I gasped for breath. "Get the lights on in the east wing," I shouted to my partner, who was staring at me wide-eyed. "What happened?" he asked, confused. "I don't know, man. I just saw a fucking clown statue and it laughed. I don't care what anyone says. I'm not going back in there." My partner didn't argue. He immediately started hitting buttons on his console, flicking the lights back on. I was still panting, my skin crawling from the memory of that laughter. We never figured out why the clown statue did that, or if someone else was playing a prank on us. But after that night, I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right in that building. The rest of my shifts there were miserable, and every time I passed the area near the cubicles, I couldn't help but glance around, half expecting to hear that twisted laugh again. I never went back after my shift ended, and to this day, I still don't know if that statue was somehow something else. But one thing's for sure, I'll never look at a clown the same way again. Story 7. I wasn't new to overnight shifts at the Naval Air Station. Been doing it for about a year, but that last night, that was something else. It was a quiet shift, just me and one other guy, Jack, stationed in the front of the building. We were responsible for a maintenance facility that worked on aircraft engines. Not a hangar, more like a workshop, but it had the same eerie, abandoned vibe once everyone clocked out. I wasn't exactly thrilled to be there alone, but that was the job. It's supposed to be a routine, low-stress kind of shift. Around 2 a.m., I was walking through the back hall, checking all the rooms like usual when I heard voices. It sounded like a couple of guys talking, laughing even. I figured maybe they were working late or doing something else, so I walked down toward the mech shop to see what was up. The lights were off, the doors shut. Nothing unusual, but I could still hear them. I pushed the door open and stepped inside. No one was there. The place was empty, dark, and silent. I blinked a few times, wondering if I had just misheard. Maybe it was the wind. But no, it had definitely sounded like talking, almost like a group of people were hanging out, not working. I walked out, told Jack about it, and he just shrugged. "Don't worry about it," he said, his eyes glued to the TV. "There's only two of us on duty tonight. No one else is supposed to be here." I wasn't so sure, but I let it go. It was just the first weird thing of the night, right? The kind of odd thing that happens when you're in an empty building at 2 a.m. The second time it happened, I was walking through the hall again an hour later, doing the same thing, just checking rooms. This time, though, the voices weren't just voices. There was noise, metal scraping, the sound of tools being dropped, and then a loud bang, like something heavy hitting the floor. It came from the mech shop. I didn't think twice. I walked straight down there, my heart picking up the pace. But again, when I pushed the door open, it was empty. Not a single person. The place was just like I'd left it. Dark, cold, and quiet. No tools scattered around, no tools on the floor, no signs of anything being disturbed. The floor was pristine. I walked back to the front, my nerves starting to tingle. Jack wasn't paying attention to me at first. He was still watching TV. He looked up when I walked in, and I told him what happened. He gave me the same look as before, the kind that said he didn't believe me. Like I said, man, it's just you and me. Don't sweat it. But I wasn't sweating it. I was feeling it. The weirdness. It was like the air in the building had changed. Something wasn't right. I couldn't shake the feeling that someone, or something, was in there with me. And then, around 4 a.m., that was when things really turned. Jack and I were sitting up front, barely talking. We were watching some random TV show to pass the time. Everything was calm, quiet. I thought maybe I was imagining things earlier. Maybe I'd just been tired. But then I heard it again. The unmistakable sound of tools being thrown around. It wasn't just clinking on the floor. It sounded like a hammer hitting something solid. Metal against metal, and something heavy crashing down. The noise echoed from the mech shop, loud enough that I jumped. Jack froze beside me. We looked at each other, and I saw it in his eyes. He heard it too. Jack sighed and stood up. Go check it out, man. I'm not getting up. It's probably nothing. He said it like it was some sort of joke, but my gut told me it wasn't. I wanted to get up and investigate myself, but the last thing I wanted was to be anywhere near that shop. It was like something was deliberately making noise in there, taunting us. But Jack wasn't joking. He just sat back down on the couch, clicking through channels, like he had all the time in the world. I stood up, heart pounding in my chest. My feet felt heavy as I walked to the hallway. I didn't want to go in there. But something was pushing me, like a force I couldn't ignore. The sounds grew louder, more frantic, like someone was tossing tools and slamming them into the metal walls. I reached the door to the mech shop. My hand shook as I grabbed the handle. When I swung it open, the room was dead silent. No tools on the floor, no noise, not a damn thing out of place. The engine in the center of the room sat there, untouched. But then, just as I was about to walk away, I saw it. A small, oil-stained wrench, lying on the floor near the engine. It hadn't been there before. It was just there, as if it had been placed there, on purpose for me to find. I picked it up. My heart was thudding in my ears and I could barely breathe. I turned to leave the room and head back to the front, but the moment I stepped out, the sound of something crashing against the floor followed me. I didn't look back. I ran. When I got to the front, Jack was still sitting there, eyes glued to the TV. The guy didn't even flinch when I walked in. He didn't seem to care. I dropped the wrench onto the counter, and all I could say was, "That's it, I'm done." Jack barely looked at it. "Whatever, man, it's just some noise." The next day, I went by the mech shop, hoping to talk to the maintenance crew. Maybe they knew what was going on. They just laughed when I asked if anyone had been in the night before. They said no one had signed in. Their tools hadn't been moved either. Everything had been where they left it. I didn't look. I didn't need to. I just ran. I don't know how, but I made it to my truck. I slammed the door behind me and didn't stop until I was miles away. I still don't know what it was. I know it wasn't some random guy hiding in the school. There's no way. I locked everything up before I started waxing the floors. But the voice, the breathing, the footsteps, I can't explain it. Story 9. I didn't really think much of the job when I first started. It was a small meatpacking plant, barely a few miles outside the town I lived in, just enough to keep the lights on. The place was old, a little run down, but it paid the bills and my shift started late enough for me to finish up any homework or hang out with my friends. Nothing unusual about it at first glance, but after a few weeks I began to notice things. I was in high school, and I guess I should have been used to the dark by then. But it was different at the slaughterhouse. I had to go in alone at night to clean. The pressure washer was loud enough to drown out my thoughts, which might have been a blessing. But every time I turned that thing on, I'd hear something in the distance. At first I thought it was just the wind, but there was something off about the way it sounded. Almost too rhythmic, like footsteps. I remember the first time I felt really uneasy. It was late in the winter, right around the time the sun barely rose at all. I was working the shift, doing the usual cleaning. The place smelled like blood and steel, the kind of odor that's enough to make your stomach churn after a while. But there was something else that night. Something about the air felt thick, wrong. And then it happened. The sheriff called me, which I thought was odd. I knew him well enough from around town, but he was usually pretty hands-off with me. His voice sounded strained. "There's been an incident," he said, his voice sharp like he was trying to get the words out quickly. "A cow's been found mutilated out near the field next to the plant. I need you to come see something." I didn't understand at first. I'd heard rumors of cattle mutilations, like the ones people talked about in the 70s, but I figured it was all just talk. Some predator, or maybe some weird cult stuff, whatever. It was the last thing I expected to hear about, especially coming from the sheriff himself. I told him I'd be there in a few minutes, still half in disbelief. I grabbed my jacket and walked out of the plant, the cold air biting at my skin. I headed toward the field, following the long, winding driveway that led to it. The sheriff was waiting by the gate, his face tight. "Over here," he said, waving me over. As I got closer, I could see the cow in the field. It was lying on its side, legs stiff, almost like it had been carefully placed there. But what got me was the way it looked. It didn't make sense. The first thing I noticed was the blood, or lack of it. There was none, not a drop. The ground around the cow was dry, like it hadn't been touched by blood at all. I stepped closer, holding my breath. There was something else, too. The cow's body was too clean, like it had been stripped down, but with surgical precision. The sexual organs were missing, not torn out, but neatly excised, almost as if it had been done by someone who knew exactly what they were doing. The two puncture wounds in the cow's neck were barely noticeable, but I could tell they'd been made intentionally. It didn't look like anything I'd seen before. Not like a predator had done it. The sheriff looked at me, his eyes wide. "You see it too, right?" I nodded, my stomach turning. The vet had already been there, done an autopsy. No blood. None in the heart, none anywhere. I couldn't wrap my head around it. There had to be an explanation, but nothing about this made sense. The sheriff cleared his throat. "You were here last night, right? Around the same time it happened?" I nodded again. "I was inside, cleaning. I didn't hear anything. Nothing that sounded out of the ordinary." He didn't say much after that. I don't think either of us knew what to say. I could feel the weight of the silence pressing in around us, thick like the cold. It was like the whole night was holding its breath, waiting. I kept working there, but the dread never left me. Story 10. I'm not much for talking about this kind of thing, but I've got one story that still sends shivers down my spine. I used to work as a night guard at a middle school in a small town in the Midwest. The kind of place where you know everyone's business, but nothing ever happens. Or so I thought. It was my first solo shift. They told me the school was quiet at night, mostly just the janitor cleaning up. The place was empty except for me, which wasn't unusual, given that the school had been shut down for the summer. I was only there to keep an eye on the building and make sure no one broke in. Nothing that'd prepare me for what happened. I got in around 11 p.m., checked the security system, and made my rounds. I wasn't expecting anything weird. The halls were dark, the lights flickered every now and then, and the building creaked a lot. Typical. By 3 a.m., I was at the counselor's office. This office had been converted from an old storage closet, and I didn't know why they'd put it in such a strange spot, far from the main office. Still, it wasn't my job to question it. I walked down the hall, grabbed my keys, and unlocked the door to the office. But something felt off right away. The door barely opened. I pushed harder. Nothing. I checked the handle. It was clear something was blocking it from the other side. At first, I thought maybe something had fallen in front of it, but no. The desk, which used to sit in the corner, was now shoved directly up against the door. It wasn't a small desk either. Heavy, like someone had done it on purpose. I tried again, pulling the door hard. It didn't budge. I could feel the adrenaline starting to pump through me. I knocked on the door. No answer. The weirdest thing, though, was that the door wasn't locked from the inside. No one could have been in there, yet here was the desk, blocking the only exit. I went to the janitor's closet to grab a crowbar. When I returned, the desk was still there. I started to wedge the crowbar in between the door and the desk when I heard it, a soft thud from inside the office. It was faint, but it made my blood run cold. Someone was in there. I had no idea how, but I knew it wasn't just a coincidence. I stood frozen for a second. The air felt thick, almost suffocating. I knocked again, this time louder. "Hey, is anyone in there?" No answer. My heart was hammering now. This wasn't right. I pushed the crowbar in harder, trying to get the door open. Finally, with a loud crack, the door gave way, and the desk slid off just enough for me to squeeze through. The room was completely dark, except for the glow from my flashlight. There was nothing, no one in there. The desk was still up against the door, like it had been before, but there was no sign of anyone. I checked the corners of the room. Nothing. My breathing was fast, uneven. I walked over to the desk, expecting to find something. A note, maybe? But there was nothing. The desk was empty. Then I heard it again. The thud. This time it was louder, closer. It came from the corner of the room where the old filing cabinets were. My flashlight flickered. I took a step forward, and the light went out completely. I stood there in the dark, trying to force my hand to steady enough to turn the light back on. It finally flickered back to life, and when it did, I saw something I will never forget. There in the corner, just barely visible in the dark, was a face. Just a face, staring at me from between the filing cabinets. It wasn't clear at first, but as I stepped forward, the figure shifted, and I realized it was a woman. No, not a woman. More like a shadow of one. Her features blurred and indistinct, as though she wasn't completely there. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to scream, to run, but my feet wouldn't move. The air was thick, cold, like I couldn't breathe. And then it just vanished, gone, like it had never been there. I didn't stick around after that. I ran straight out of the room, locked the door, and bolted for the exit. I don't care how crazy it sounds, I swear something was in there. Something that shouldn't have been. I've never gone back to that school at night. They reassigned me to another building soon after that, and I've never told anyone what I saw. Maybe I'll sound insane, but I know what I saw that night. The weird thing? I never mentioned it to anyone, but the next day I overheard some of the other staff talking. Apparently that office was built on top of an old storage area that had been used for something. I don't know, something about it was off, and no one ever stayed in that office for too long. You can believe whatever you want, but I know one thing for sure, I've never been the same since that night. Thanks for watching. Don't leave before leaving a like to this video. Also hit the subscribe button to support my work. And as always, have a horrific nightmare, my dear.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.